Welcome to the TPS 5 for the week of August 3rd through August 7th. TPS 5 is a weekly recap of the latest in marketing, communications, and digital healthcare news as curated by the expert hosts of the Touchpoint Media Network. To learn more about Touchpoint Media, visit us online at touchpoint.health. The accuracy of coronavirus testing is in the news this week, and our lead story from the New York Times is a deep dive into the wide variety of tests being used out there. The article, which is entitled, "It's Kitchen Sink Time, Fast, Less Accurate Coronavirus Tests May Be Good Enough," investigates how experts are revising their views on the best methods to detect infections, effectively setting aside long-held standards of testing accuracy, all in an attempt to curb the spread of the virus. Traditional discussions about coronavirus testing typically reasoned that doctors and researchers need to deploy the most accurate tests available to root out as many infections as possible, even in the absence of symptoms. During this pandemic, however, that has meant relying heavily on PCR testing, an extremely accurate but time and labor-intensive method that requires samples to be processed at laboratories. But, as is being widely seen across the country, testing supply shortages are resurfacing, and there are significant delays in receiving test results. That is why researchers and public health experts have become increasingly vocal about revising the standard of accuracy. The best chance to rein in the sprawling outbreaks in the United States now, they say, requires widespread adoption of less accurate tests, as long as they are administered quickly and often enough. Many experts believe more rapid, frequent testing would identify those who would need immediate medical care and perhaps even pinpoint those at the greatest risk of spreading the disease. This mindset shift would be a welcome change for the U.S., where the status quo of our current testing approach was described as unacceptable, period, by Dr. Anthony Fauci in an interview this week on CNN. Of the dozens of coronavirus tests that have been granted emergency use authorization, most rely on complex laboratory procedures to detect the presence of coronavirus. However, a few are quick and easy enough to provide point-of-care testing, like in a doctor's office or urgent care setting, without the need to be sent to a laboratory. While these tests are still relatively in short supply nationwide, they are being used by government entities, and they are pledged to scale up the number of point-of-care tests by fall, increasing by millions the weekly tally of tests conducted. Many rapid tests still rely on specialized machines that are neither cheap nor easy to produce in bulk. And while some rapid tests, like the Abbott ID Now, were quickly adopted into the White House, most are unlikely to get much play in the larger community. Even simpler versions of this type of testing technology would provide a fast answer in the same way as pregnancy tests, allowing users to swab their mouths or noses or spit into a tube and then read the results as colored bars on a strip of paper. And these tests could be done at home, without machines or specially trained test administrators, and cost just a few dollars a test, or even less, and the results would be almost immediately available. This could help with preventative management of the pandemic. Distributed weekly or even daily, they could screen people headed back to offices, schools, universities, delivering peace of mind to parents, teachers, and employers. Everyone, not just those feeling ill, would have an easy way to assess potential infection of coronavirus. "The goal here is to detect as many infections as possible," said Daniel Larimore, an applied mathematician who models infectious diseases at the University of Colorado. "That means taking as many shots on the goal as we can." Broad distribution of antigen tests might also ease the demand for PCR, which still has an important role in hospitals and vulnerable communities like nursing homes. But the accuracy of these tests are potentially questionable. They may miss some people who would test positive by PCR, which amplifies coronavirus RNA and picks up even tiny amounts of it. With antigen tests, proteins can't be copied in the same way, making it easier to mistake some people who are carrying minute levels of the coronavirus in their bodies as pathogen-free. Some antigen tests used in the past miss up to half of the infections they're looking for. Coronavirus levels vary from person to person and can wax and wane over the course of an infection, typically peaking around the time symptoms first appear. Those people carrying and thus possibly shedding the coronavirus will most likely turn up positive using every test on the market. Those with less virus in their bodies might get more mixed results, and many of these individuals, however, probably aren't the cases of concern. Testing frequency can also be a challenge to the spread of this disease. Mathematical models show that a relatively insensitive test rolled out twice a week vastly outperforms a more accurate test administered once every 2 weeks. The success of this rapid testing approach also hinges heavily upon availability, something the United States has failed at since we began dealing with this pandemic. Ramping up antigen testing may only add strain to an already sputtering supply chain, potentially hampering plans for widespread use. And FDA guidelines stipulate that any new coronavirus test vying for emergency clearance from the agency currently must perform nearly as well as the gold standard of PCR testing. You can read more of this article in our show notes. And now, other headlines from this week. Forbes published an in-depth report on the digital health merger that has been filling our LinkedIn and Twitter feeds this week, entitled "Say Hello to the Largest Virtual Care Company, Televongo." A $38 billion merger between Teladoc and Livongo provides a detailed overview of what they call the unprecedented event in digital health history. On the topic of telehealth, healthcarefinance.com's article, "Telehealth to Become Permanent Under Executive Order," shares how a new executive order makes permanent the temporary flexibilities for telehealth allowed during the COVID-19 pandemic, including Medicare reimbursements and additional funding to support the rollout. eConsultancy's article, 64% of marketers have pursued some type of learning during lockdown, shares the results of a new survey of more than 1,100 marketers conducted by eConsultancy and Marketing Week that revealed how and to what extent organizations have prioritized learning and development initiatives for employees during lockdown. Lastly, be sure to check out this week's Exam Room podcast with Dr. Brian Vardabedian. This conversation with Dr. Jevin West, an associate professor in the Information School at the University of Washington, discusses his new book about skepticism in a data-driven world and how this is presenting one of the greatest healthcare challenges facing this generation of consumers, misinformation. And that's it for this week's TPS 5. If you like the latest in healthcare news in an email delivered weekly to your inbox, be sure to subscribe to the TPS report, which you can sign up for on the Touchpoint Media website at touchpoint.health. We're now into August, and for those of you who are keeping track, today is International Beer Day. So for those that celebrate, please enjoy and have a great day. We'll see you next week.